Welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're going to pluck a string of curiosity, you know, and explore the stick dulcimer. I got to say, this book is a real treasure trove of luthier knowledge.
It's pretty amazing, this stick dulcimer. Mm-hmm. And it creates a very unique sound and playing style.
So is it more like a dulcimer or a guitar?
It's kind of both, really.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, the fingerboard layout resembles the Appalachian dulcimer, but you play it more like a guitar, holding it horizontally.
Oh.
And the name itself, stick dulcimer, is really kind of a general term.
Right, right.
There are actually lots of variations with three or four strings and different fretting styles.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot of, like, experimentation possible within that.
You got it.
Okay, cool.
So
what's the history behind it? Where did it all begin?
Its origins are a little murky.
Okay.
Yeah, we see kind of hints of similar instruments popping up throughout history.
Uh-huh.
Dennis Waring, in his 1979 book, mentions a stick dulcimer or a dulcilis.
Okay.
Then there's John Pierce, back in 1970, describes a staff dulcimer.
Well,
basically a fretboard stick.
Interesting.
You could play on any surface.
That's so resourceful.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate portable instrument.
For sure.
Yeah, and around the same time, we see instruments like Homer Bedford's dulcitar and Bob McNally's strumstick emerge.
All right.
So there was definitely a lineage of stick-like dulcimers going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the modern stick dulcimer as we know it.
Right. So when did the stick dulcimer that we know it today really take off?
Commercially available stick dulcimers.
Okay.
Started appearing in the late 1990s and early 2000s.
Gotcha. Now, this source material here really gets into the nitty-gritty of building a stick dulcimer.
It does.
Packed with instructions and a list of tools.
It's comprehensive.
So
having the right tools is essential.
Yeah.
But the book goes beyond just, like, listing them.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about, you know, a dedicated workspace and good organization, even if your space is small.
Yeah. I could see how that would be really important.
Right.
With the, you know, small measurements,
right,
delicate materials and stuff.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So what are some of the must-have tools for a budding stick dulcimer maker?
For hand tools, a good Nordic-style whittling knife is key.
Okay.
Yeah, it offers fantastic control and precision for delicate carving.
Mm-hmm.
You'll also need a spoke shave for shaping the neck.
Okay.
And sharpening stones to keep those blades razor sharp.
Right.
And, of course, you can't forget marking and measuring tools like squares, rulers, and gauges.
Wow, it's quite the arsenal.
Yeah.
What about power tools? Are those essential too?
They definitely make the process more efficient.
Okay.
A drill press, router, bench disc sander, and a bandsaw are all incredibly useful.
Yeah.
But, you know, the book emphasizes safety above all else, especially with all the dust generated by these tools.
Oh, for sure.
A good dust extraction system.
Yeah.
And a cyclone bin are highly recommended.
Absolutely. Safety first.
Yes.
Always, right. So let's say we've got our workspace, our tools ready.
Right.
What's the first step?
They start with the sides.
Okay.
Which can be a bit tricky.
Right.
Yeah. You need to bend the wood to create those curves.
Yeah.
They describe a couple techniques using boiling water or a bending iron.
Okay.
Both requiring a bit of finesse and patience.
I can imagine that bending wood is not easy.
No, it's not.
Okay, cool. And then what about laminating the sides?
Yeah, laminating adds strength and weight to the sides.
Right.
It involves gluing multiple layers of wood together.
Okay.
Using a jig and clamps to keep everything aligned.
Gotcha.
So this step requires a bit of organization.
Right.
Yeah, to manage all those layers and make sure they bond properly.
It's like a puzzle.
It is.
Piecing everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after the sides are shaped.
All right.
What comes next?
The soundboard is up next.
Okay.
Yeah. And the choice of wood is really crucial here. They recommend tone woods like spruce, cedar, redwood, and mahogany for their acoustic properties.
Right.
The grain of the wood is important too.
Yeah.
Quarter sawn grain is ideal for stability, preventing the soundboard from warping or cracking over time.
Right, right.
So
each detail contributes to the instrument's quality.
Absolutely. And then they even go into detail about crafting the rosette, that decorative inlay around the sound hole.
Oh, yeah.
It's a small detail, but it adds a beautiful touch of artistry to the instrument.
Yeah, that's so cool. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
But there was like all that thought.
It's a little detail.
It goes into a rosette.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. So we've got the sides, the soundboard. What about the neck?
All right. while stability is key for the neck.
Right.
So they suggest hardwoods like mahogany, maple, or even tulip poplar.
Mm-hmm.
And just like with the soundboard,
okay,
the grain direction is important. You want straight grain for maximum strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the process of cutting rebates for the sides,
really?
Which requires a lot of precision to ensure a snug fit.
So any little error could have a domino effect.
Oh, it can.
Right.
Yeah.
What comes after the neck?
All right. Next comes the fretboard.
Oh?
This part demands some meticulous accuracy.
Yeah.
The book recommends hardwoods.
Sorry.
Like ebony, rosewood, or hard maple for the fretboard.
Gotcha.
And then comes the intricate task of marking and cutting those fret slots.
Yeah.
Placement needs to be perfect for proper intonation.
Right.
They describe techniques for fretting by hand or using an arbor press.
What's an arbor press?
Oh, it's a tool that applies controlled pressure.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect for seating those frets accurately.
Gotcha.
Into the fretboard slots.
Okay.
And then they highlight a detail that I think many beginners might not know.
Okay.
The importance of the zero fret.
Oh, yeah.
It's the fret closest to the nut,
mm-hmm.
and its height and placement are crucial for playability.
Well, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm learning so much about these subtle details that go into a quality instrument.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered the side, soundboard, neck, and fretboard.
Okay.
What's the next piece?
All right, now it's time for the back of the instrument.
Okay.
It involves edge jointing pieces of wood and bracing them for strength.
Okay.
Much like the soundboard.
Yeah.
The book describes using registration pins for perfect alignment.
Oh, wow.
Borrowing a technique from violin making.
It's amazing how these craftsmanship methods are still relevant today.
It's fascinating.
Okay, so we've got all the individual components ready to go. What happens next?
Now it's time for assembly.
Okay.
The book guides you through attaching the sides to the neck, fitting the back, gluing the soundboard, trimming the overhang.
Okay.
And they also talk about adding optional edge binding for added strength and a touch of visual flair.
Yeah, it sounds like such a balancing act.
It is.
Of precision and artistry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really starting to understand
why
luthiers are considered craftspeople and artists.
They're both.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What happens after the body is assembled?
Then comes shaping the neck.
Okay.
This step is crucial for comfort and playability.
Right.
The book emphasizes the importance of the neck profile and provides guidance on shaping the headstock and fitting the tuning pegs.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So it's all about the ergonomics.
Yes.
At this point, making sure it feels good in the hands.
Yeah.
So after the neck is shaped, what comes next?
The final stage is sanding and finishing.
Ooh, the finish.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of finish do they recommend for a stick dulcimer?
They actually dive pretty deep into finishing techniques.
Oh, cool.
They describe French polishing, which is a traditional method using shellac.
Okay.
Yeah, it creates a beautiful high-gloss finish, but it requires a lot of patience and skill.
Yeah.
But they also offer alternative options,
oh,
like tung oil, Danish oil, and even an oil finish designed for gun stocks.
That's a range.
Yeah.
I like that they offer options.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they don't stop at the instrument.
Yeah.
They also talk about the strap.
They do.
And the case.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The book encourages a complete DIY experience.
That's so cool.
From instrument to accessories.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are the strap and case made of?
They suggest using durable nylon webbing for the strap.
Okay.
With a leather end piece and a tri-glide buckle for adjustability.
Simple.
Simple but effective.
And functional.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the case?
All right. For the case, they actually provide instructions for two different styles.
Okay.
A straightforward trapezoid-shaped case.
Okay.
And a more complex bentwood or oblong shell case.
Gotcha. So different levels of protection and visual appeal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you've
built this beautiful instrument.
Right.
You've crafted your strap and case.
Yes.
What about amplification?
All right. Well, it can be a little challenging
because
of the instrument size.
Right.
But the book does explore the possibilities.
Okay.
Piezo pickups, like those from K&K, work well for amplifying the natural acoustic sound.
Okay.
And if you want to go electric, there are magnetic pickups that can be fitted.
So that opens up even more possibilities.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm assuming they talk about testing the pickup.
Yes, they do.
Before sealing everything up.
Absolutely. Thorough testing is key.
Right, because you don't want to find out that there's a problem after
out.
You've glued it all together.
Yep.
So we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we have.
In this deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
The history.
The history.
The evolution.
Yeah.
The construction.
Mm-hmm.
But they go even further and talk about
they do.
Custom designing your own instrument.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we'll take a short break,
okay.
Come back and talk
good.
About
sounds good.
Custom stick dulcimer design.
Looking forward to it. Welcome back.
So now that we've journeyed through building one,
right?
How about actually playing it?
Okay, so you're ready to make some music.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, first things first, how do you tune this thing?
Yeah, because it seems a bit different. From a standard guitar.
It does have its own unique tuning.
Okay.
The most common tuning for a 3-string stick dulcimer is D-A-D.
D-A-D.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I've never seen that tuning before.
No.
What kind of sound does it make?
It gives you that really lovely resonant sound that's so characteristic of the stick dulcimer.
Okay.
It's often described as having a bright, almost ethereal quality.
Okay.
But they also talk about some alternative tunings, like GDG, reverse D-Ionian, and even tunings that lend themselves to specific modes.
Oh, wow.
Like Aeolian or Dorian.
So does the tuning change how it's played?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
Yeah, each tuning unlocks different musical possibilities.
Right.
It affects the intervals between the strings and how the chords are formed.
Okay.
Some tunings might be better suited for certain genres or playing styles.
So it's like having multiple instruments in one.
It is.
Wow. Okay. So I'm ready to learn how to play this thing.
Okay.
Where do I even begin?
Well, the book does assume some familiarity with stringed instruments, but it does offer some guidance.
Okay.
Holding the stick dulcimer
yeah.
is similar to holding a guitar.
Okay.
With the neck nestled between your thumb and forefinger.
Right.
And while you can play with your fingers, they do recommend using a pick for most playing styles.
I've always been curious about that, like picks versus fingers.
Right.
Is there a particular reason why a pick is preferred?
They actually mention a specific pick.
Oh, wow.
The Fender 351 Classic pick, which is a medium thickness, has a good all-rounder.
Gotcha.
It provides a nice balanced tone for both strumming and picking individual notes.
I'll have to try that one out.
Yeah.
I bet you can experiment, though, with different picks.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, experimentation is key.
To see what suits your style.
Mm-hmm.
They probably talk about different materials. And
Do they even suggest trying picks made from different materials?
A lot.
Like felt or wood?
Okay.
To see how they affect the sound?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you've got your stick dulcimer.
Okay.
You've got your trusty pick.
Right.
You're holding it correctly.
You got it.
How do you actually start making music?
Well, you know, learning any instrument takes time and practice, but they do offer some helpful starting points.
Yeah.
Like they suggest using tabs or standard music notation to learn tunes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And then? Do they talk about chords?
They do.
Wow.
They say with only 3 strings, there's fewer frets to worry about, which can make learning chords.
Yeah. Chords could be intimidating.
They can be, for sure.
A little less overwhelming.
I bet.
Yeah.
Do they provide any chord diagrams?
They include a chord chart for the standard DA tuning, showing some basic chord shapes.
Gotcha.
And they introduce a really fun technique called one-finger chords.
What?
You simply bar across the strings with one finger.
Oh, wow.
And slide it up and down the neck to change chords.
The finger chords.
I know.
That sounds doable.
It's pretty cool.
Even for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get started with chord progressions.
Right.
And experiment with different sounds.
Yeah.
They even give an example.
Oh.
Of playing Pachelbel's Canon in D major.
No way.
Using this technique.
So you can play some pretty complex stuff on this seemingly simple instrument.
You can.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
What about playing melodies?
And they touch on melodies briefly.
Okay.
Suggesting that you can use all 3 strings to play a wide range of melodies.
Okay.
And they even mention incorporating techniques. Like double stops and finger picking.
Okay.
Which can add more depth and texture to your music.
It seems like there's a lot of room.
There is.
For creativity and expression with this.
Absolutely. Instrument. It's not just a simple folk instrument.
Right.
It can really explore
yeah.
different genres and styles.
So they probably talk about like adapting arrangements and stuff from?
They talk about adapting arrangements from other instruments.
Oh, okay.
Like the guitar, mountain dulcimer,
okay,
mandolin, or even the ukulele.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So we've explored tuning.
Right.
Basic playing techniques.
We have.
Chords, melodies.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there?
Well, they actually go beyond the basics and talk about customizing and even designing your own stick dulcimer.
All right.
They provide some alternative scale charts and discuss updates and modifications to their original designs.
Cool. Yeah. So we've got a lot more ground to cover.
We do.
Let's move on to part three of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Welcome back to the final part of our stick dulcimer deep dive.
Yeah.
We've gone through the history, the building process.
We've built it.
We've even touched on playing it.
Yeah, a little bit.
But now let's get creative.
Okay.
And talk about customizing and designing your own unique instrument.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, I think this is the part I'm most excited for.
Yeah, me too.
Because
it's empowering, isn't it?
Yeah.
To really make it your own.
Yeah, to personalize an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we even begin?
Well, they say start with the fundamentals.
Okay.
You know, things like pitch tuning.
Right.
Scale length.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of strings.
Yeah, those are definitely fundamental to how an instrument is going to sound and play.
Right. And they suggest, you know, researching similar instruments to kind of understand the conventions and then thinking about your own preferences.
Right. It's like research, experimentation.
It is.
Inspiration all rolled into one.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they really encourage you to sketch out ideas.
Right.
Create detailed drawings.
Okay.
You know, it's not just about visualizing the final instrument.
Right.
But it's also about working through the technical details, making sure everything's going to function harmoniously.
All right. So you don't want to just draw a pretty picture. You want to make sure it's going to work.
It's got to function. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about building mock-ups?
Yeah. They're all about the mock-ups. Yeah. You know, it's a great way to test the ergonomics and, you know, identify any potential issues before you commit to building the actual instrument.
So it's like a dress rehearsal.
It is.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What other tips do they offer?
Well, they recommend documenting the entire process.
Okay.
From your initial inspiration to your final design choices.
Okay, so it's like keeping a journal.
It is.
Of your creative journey.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they also talk about the alternative scale charts and stuff.
They do. They actually provide scale charts.
Yeah.
For a couple different scale lengths.
Okay.
Like a 650 millimeter scale.
Mm-hmm.
And a 580 millimeter scale.
Okay.
They say the longer scales can sound a bit more zingy or dulcimer-like.
Right.
And the shorter scales can be a bit easier to play
if
you have smaller hands.
So the scale length really affects the tone and the playability.
Mm-hmm.
And do they discuss any modifications to their designs?
Oh, yeah. They've made some really interesting refinements over the years.
Oh, cool. Like what?
Well, like a shorter scale length for comfort.
Okay.
A deeper body for more resonance.
Yeah.
A thicker top for greater projection.
Okay.
An extra cross brace below the sound hole for strength.
Mm-hmm.
A thicker fingerboard with a zero fret for playability.
Wow. So they've really honed it in over the years.
Experimenting and refining.
That's really cool.
And they even mention a custom model.
Okay.
With extra frets and a Can-K pickup for amplification.
That's so cool.
It is.
This has been awesome.
It has.
I feel like we've gone from raw materials to the history to the design to it's really been a journey.
A complete deep dive.
Yes, it has.
Into the world.
And I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too.
About the art of luthery.
It's fascinating.
And the stick dulcimer.
Yeah.
So for our listeners out there,
yes.
I think the biggest takeaway is...
What is it?
There's so many possibilities.
There are.
In music.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be a master craftsman or a seasoned musician to explore it.
To have fun.
Yeah. You can, you know, maybe build a simple instrument like a diddly bow or pick up a stick dulcimer.
Yeah.
Or just delve into...
And if you appreciate the craftsmanship.
Yeah. The world of luthery is just fascinating.
It is.
So I encourage all our listeners...
Me too.
...to go out there.
Get out there. Get out there.
Explore.
Experiment.
And make some music.
Make some music.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time.
Keep learning.
Keep learning.
And keep creating.
And keep creating.